Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me. What? Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. My quote was broke, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortar's the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Vultures the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's rivals.
I'm the
Bible. I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Laila Tawab, which means good night or good evening in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your host, your brother, your friend, as always, Tazapa. I am joined this evening by Labia in the building, y'all.
Shalom.
I want to start off by sending shout out to Affiliated Schools. Okay, it's all good. You're going to be ready, though, right? There you go.
I'm ready, Con. I'm ready.
All right, cool. I want to send shout out to Affiliated Schools, the brothers here in San Antonio. Shout out to Awar, Shemswan, and the crew. Also, shout out to our Affiliated School up in VA, Brother Kazakia, and the crew up there. Also, the brother, Parker Zop, down in H-Town. And the brothers also up in Rochester, the brothers Ainala. Shouts out to our brothers and sisters in Canada, Albuquerque, and Cali. And shouts out to Kyle Cobb down in Guatemala. The kids is in the kitchen, y'all. That's why I'm laughing. They over making themselves food, talking about they want me to send shouts out to them. So shouts out to the kids, y'all. To Rapine Heidi. Honorable mentions. All right, y'all. So if it's your first time tuning in to the show, welcome, man, to Bible Talk, man. A little show that we've been doing for over 10 years now, courtesy of the brother Mashaba in his infinite wisdom. First came up with Bible Talk, Blog Talk Radio, quite a few number of years ago, many moons ago, man. But we've been holding it down, man. We've been pretty consistent. I want to send the waters and thank yous out to all that has supported us over the many years of Blog Talk Radio, man. Big ups to all our listeners, our supporters. And shouts out to the 12 tribes scattered worldwide, man, throughout the globe, man. Shouts out to all our brothers and sisters. Whether you're affiliated school-wise with us or not, man, you're an Israelite living day to day, man, in this wicked-ass place, trying to get yourself right. Trying to adhere to the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High and the principles of Christ. And shout out to you, brothers and sisters. Want to send shouts out to my cousin Devin, man. Chatted up with him a little bit today, man. He's in good spirits. He's doing well. Working on starting his own concrete pouring business, man. I hope the Most High blesses his hands. And keep them safe, man. So shout out to you, cuz. Mashaba, did you send the link out yet? If you haven't,
I did this morning. I sent out this morning.
Did you?
Yes,
okay,
you
let
did.
Me look. My bag, sir. You sure did. So it's like clockwork, y'all. The water hot. Let me shoot this up. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead and get to it. Let's get Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, and it reads, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So this is the prayer we need to be sending up on the daily, y'all, so we can get the hell on up out of this demonic place. Now let's get Psalm chapter 118 and read verse 24 for me, please, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, y'all. I usually come to y'all in the morning, but I had to work this morning, so that's why I'm getting it in this evening. And here shortly, y'all, I'm going to do a little bit of news, and then I'm going to bring a special guest, Mashaba, in. He's going to help me with this evening's class entitled Never Wax Pale, Christ and His Passion, Part 3. All right, you got to love y'all. Come on, love y'all. Act like you know the Bible. It'd be like
Psalm 118, verse 24.
It'd be like Tyler Pye ain't teaching that woman nothing.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
What? Tell them where you at.
Psalm chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
So good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you will come out better on the other side because of it, y'all. Please believe me. All right, y'all, if it's your first time tuning into the show, we are the people of the book, the Hebrew Israelites. We've proven this extensively, and we continue to prove it through biblical sources, historical sources. I mean, you name it. We bring the proof. Like it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things, man. We hang our hat on proving all things. And it says also says, hold on to that which is good. And the thing we know is good, which is loosely referred to, and I don't have any objections with this AKA, it goes by the good book. I have no objections with that because it is, in fact, a very good book. And it is a book of instructions, a book of practicalities, a beautiful book, man, that everybody wants to claim for themselves. But it only was written for one people by one people, and that people being us so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans that are scattered throughout the four corners of the globe, specifically here in the Western Hemisphere, a.k.a. as the Israelites, man. Yes, we are indeed. I know people don't know us. The world doesn't know us as Israelites, but we are, in fact, the people of the book, man. So I do about an hour of news, current events, sometimes get on the soapbox, and then I go into the class, man. And like I told you, I have a special guest, Michelle, coming up to join me in the second hour. It might be a little bit sooner, actually, because I don't have a lot of news, because I was kind of pressed for time, man. It's been a very busy day. Anyway, let's dive into some of these stories. I'm guessing that Arkay is not joining us this evening.
I'm not sure she could be there.
She's under the weather. Hasadai, you know. Okay. Making dinner. All right. All right. Like I said, Arkay is not feeling the best, y'all. She thinks she might have the cocoa, which leads me to my first article, y'all. I'll let you read this, Lobby, y'all. And speaking of which, man, I hope everybody is healthy, man. I hope everybody's healthy. Hope everybody is safe. And I want to say the water, man, thank y'all for sending up prayers for the sister, Abadiah. The sister is doing much better, and she had COVID. And I think she told me she was down for like a week or so. She had a terrible cough, and it was really affecting her respiratory system. She was struggling to breathe. So here we are again, y'all. One more go around. If y'all have forgotten the recipe, COVID cocktail seems like it's about to be in full effect again. I know I've been on the cocktail for about the last 3 days, man, because I got wind of this new wave coming around. I'm like, man, let me tighten up. The COVID cocktail consists of half cup of OJ, oregano oil, follow the instructions on the bottle. I believe it's like 4 drops. That's like the main component in this recipe. So you got the oregano oil, peppermint oil. The peppermint is essential for respiratory system to open up your lungs, your airways. As a matter of fact, I suggested to the sister Abadiah that she get a brown paper bag and throw a couple drops in the bag, you know, to her tolerance level, and put the bag over her mouth and nose and inhale and exhale. It'd be like her giving having a breathing treatment, but a natural breathing treatment instead of all the other foreign medicines that Esau recommends when you're having breathing issues. But the peppermint is essential for your respiratory system. That's in the COVID cocktail. Also, the garlic, another main ingredient. What else was we putting in? The buffered vitamin C, man. So vitamin C is essential for boosting your immune system, man. And something I've been putting in mind here lately, man, cayenne pepper, man. Cayenne pepper is excellent for blood flow. Blood flow and energy, man. It's also amino acid. And you could throw some ginger in there, too, if you're having stomach issues. Ginger calms down the digestive system. So that's pretty much it. Now, I know it was a few more things I was putting in there, man, but those are the main ingredients for the COVID cocktail. So let's go ahead and get into this story, LaBia. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, tell them where you're reading from.
ABCnews.go.com. COVID hospitalizations increased for 6 consecutive weeks, but still at historic lows. Hospitalizations rose 18.8% during the week ending August 19th to 15,067.
And when is this article from?
It's August the 29th, 2023 at 1:14 p.m.
What's today's date?
29th.
Oh, so it's from today. What does it say? Keep reading.
COVID hospitalizations are continuing to increase in the United States, according to data updated Monday from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Hospitalization rose for the 6th consecutive week, this time by 18.8% during the week ending August 9th to 15,067, similar to levels seen in April of this year. However, COVID metrics remain at historic lows, public health experts have said. Hospitalization numbers this week are about 2.5 times lower compared to the same time last year and about 5.5 times lower compared to this week in 2021. Additionally, hospitalization during the peak of the Omicron wave in winter 2021-22 stood at more than 150,000.
Man, and I've had both of them, y'all. So I don't know if y'all remember, the first wave came out 2020, and I believe I got COVID. I think it was April when I got COVID. Me and Arkaya had it at the same time. Yeah, me and Arkaya had it around the same time, man. So that was the first wave. And that one, to me, was more severe. It was more severe because I was having the chest pains. I couldn't breathe. Felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. I had low energy. And, man, the body aches. The body aches and that damn headache. It was horrible. But that one lasted for about seven. After about 7 days, man, I was good. I was good after about seven. It took me about 2 weeks to get back to 100%. But those symptoms were worse. But that damn Omicron, oh, my goodness. That one I hated. The duration of that one was long as hell, and it was weird because the symptoms weren't all that bad. The symptoms was the symptoms of that of a common cold or like you were having some sinus or allergy issues. So a lot of mucus, a lot of headache, like you had a sinus headache, but little body chills here and there, but I could breathe, man. I could breathe. I never lost my taste or smell or taste with either one of them. Rakatai Habashin Yao Shai, all praise to the Most High for that one. But the damn Omicron, man, just hung out. You know, I had it for a couple of days. I'd be down. And then, you know, my energy level would come back. And I'd be, you know, functioning almost back to normal for a couple of days. And then I'd be feeling like crap again and be in the bed. And this cycle continued, man, for like maybe 2 weeks, maybe longer than that. It seemed like it was forever, man. But like I said, the Omicron, the symptoms weren't as severe, but it just wouldn't go away, man. Crap lasts forever. And it was then and I realized, man, that this whole COVID thing, man, if we haven't realized this by now, it's a part of life. This is like the flu right now. And the crazy part of it is, I think it was just 2 weeks ago, maybe longer, when they officially announced the end of the pandemic. That's crazy. But I'm reminded of what the brother Nagaha told me back when all of it broke out. Shouts out to the brother Nagaha. He was still in the military, and he was getting information that it was going to be different strands of this particular virus. He told me way back then, 2020. He said, man, they're going to have different strands. This is what I overheard. The brother, yeah, like the flu, the brother was right on point with that one, man. So let's get 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. You got that?
Read it.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety.
They're going to say what?
Peace and safety.
Oh, the pandemic is over.
Peace and safety.
You ain't got to wear a mask no more.
Peace and safety.
When they say peace and safety, all is well. Read.
Then sudden destruction.
What's around the corner?
Sudden destruction.
Gird up, y'all. It ain't over. It ain't over. Read.
Sudden destruction cometh upon them,
mm-hmm.
as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
So it's telling us we need to be prepared, man. Don't listen to what our enemy says when he says it's peace and safety. The pandemic is over. You ain't got nothing to worry about. You better keep your guards up. Like the scriptures tell us, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, seeketh who he must destroy. He's walking around. He's roaming. He's trying to catch somebody tripping, man. And we know our adversary is definitely Esau, the so-called white man. That is a fact. All right, let's get the next one where I want to go. This one right here. Y'all probably heard about this one. This is the aftermath of it. Well, it ain't over yet, but read that.
From CBSNews.com. FedEx?
Yep.
FedEx fires black delivery driver who said he was attacked by white father and son.
He was attacked by white father and son. He was, in fact, attacked by them. And I believe the original story happened in, I think this happened in January or March or something. It says what? 2022? Oh, that happened last year. Okay. So this brother now is suing FedEx because they fired him. From my understanding, he was the water, all right? You put this in the universe and it came back, huh? That's what I'm reading, Mashaba. The water for that. Yeah, so the brother.
I wasn't trying to interrupt the talk about Tuesday. I was trying to get down the low. My bad.
Hey, no, but it's all good. The water. That was a quick turnaround, man. So the brother was fired. FedEx fired him. He's got a lawyer now. He's suing FedEx. And what's crazy about it was they fired the brother when he was out on workman's comp leave. Matter of fact, finish reading the article, love you.
A FedEx delivery driver who said two white men shot at and chased him in Mississippi in 2022 has now been fired from his job. He and his attorney said Monday, I honestly feel disrespected, the former driver, DeMarcario Gibson, 25, told the Associated Press shortly after he received an email from FedEx about his termination.
The brother said he felt disrespected. Like any of us would, man, that is disrespectful. He was out, like I said, on workman's comp, and he was getting like only a third of his damn salary anyway. And you would think them clowns would have been like, you know, let's fully compensate this brother for pain and suffering, for all the stuff that he's been through, you know, because if he wasn't working for us, this never would have happened to him in the first damn place. But Esau don't think like that. We don't.
Meredith Miller, manager of Global Network Communications for FedEx, confirmed Monday that Mr. Gibson is no longer employed at FedEx, but did not respond to other questions from AP. A Mississippi judge on August 17th cited police errors in declaring a mistrial for the father and son charged in the attack.
They declared a what?
A mistrial.
So the dude and his daddy, his pappy, go to court, and the police, from what I heard, messed the evidence up, and they declared a damn mistrial. Mississippi man, listen, I ain't trying to throw salt in the wound of brothers, because you can't control where you was born at. But, man, I don't know how brothers is living. And I ain't trying to say the rest of the country is no better. But every person I know, every brother I know, sister I know from Mississippi, they hate the hell out of Mississippi. And they got stories about Mississippi. And they tell you, don't go to Mississippi. I don't know how our people is still messing around in Mississippi, man. I don't get that one. Like I said, you can't control where you were born at, and the rest of the country ain't no damn better. But when I think of Mississippi, I just automatically think of crosses burning, sheets war on Esau's head, the movie Mississippi Burning, anything dealing with segregation, lynching, and killing niggas, I automatically think about Mississippi, man. Like, Mississippi is the poster child for Black, Hispanic, and Native American oppression, brutality, and murder. You know, they you know, all those lynching pictures that we see, they might as well have on the picture, like, at the bottom in the small print sponsored by Mississippi. Because I ain't lying. When I think of this stuff, I think of Mississippi just automatically. And that ain't true. That's not true, man. Because I got to do more research. I'm going to put this together, y'all, because I see this every time, almost every time I go to work, because we go back and forth to the Valley a lot. And I was telling my family about it, man. All the damn cotton fields I see, 37. I mean, it is like loads and loads of cotton all throughout, going down 37, all the way down to damn to McAllen, man. Cotton fields for days, and this is the harvest season, so I see that all the cotton curled up in those big yellow barrels. You'll see it off the side of the highway, but when I seen them, I'm like, wow, which just goes to show that they had Issachar, who loosely refers to as Mexican, down there picking cotton as well as us. Like I say, I'm gonna do some research and put it all together and bring it out, man. But the proof is what I see off the highway, man. Anyway, going back to this story, his brother's fired from his job. Continue with the article, Lavia.
So it says a Mississippi judge on August the 17th cited police errors in declaring a mistrial for the father and son charged in the attack. A detective testified about failing to give prosecutors and defense attorneys a copy of a videotaped police interview with Gibson.
You hear this, man? It's like, damn, you go to trial and you're looking for some justice, and the whole system is against you. The whole thing is rigged. The whole thing is rigged, man. And they declare a mistrial. Read on.
Carlos Moore, an attorney who has represented Gibson in a civil lawsuit, provided AP with a copy of the email Gibson received from FedEx on Monday. It said Gibson's employment was terminated July 26th, and the company attempted to deliver a letter and documents to him about the termination July 31st.
What? Read that again.
Gibson's employment was terminated July 26th.
July 26th, he was terminated.
And the company attempted to deliver a letter and documents to him about the termination July 31st.
Wow.
But we did it by email.
Wow. Email. How are we really listening to this, man? This is how we get treated across the board. And this is just the stuff that's coming out. What about all the incidents of this type of dealing, these type of dealings that go on nationwide that we don't even hear about, man? What about the stuff that may have happened to some of us behind closed doors that left resulted in us getting terminated? We don't be really thinking about this stuff, man, how that race plays a very important role in the decisions that be made concerning us, man. We don't.
It says FedEx fired Gibson because he did not accept a part-time, non-courier job that the company offered in mid-July.
Oh, they did that old trick. Tried to make him go back to work. Because in their mind, we ain't paying this nigga for sitting around doing nothing. You gonna have to take some type of job. Reno?
Moore said, adding that he did not know whether the company gave Gibson a deadline to accept. They can't tell me when I should be ready to come back, Gibson said. Workers' comp therapy, trouble sleeping. Gibson said he has been on workers' compensation leave at about one-third of his stint shortly after he reported the attack to police in Brookhaven, Mississippi, on the night it allegedly happened, January
24, 2022. And they gave this brother only a third of his pay, and they want him to go back to work and take a part-time position because, like I said, in their mind, they ain't paying this nigga just to sit at home and do nothing. And just really downplaying his trauma. Like, man, I got shot at. And then it's crazy. I don't know if it says in this article, but the stuff I ran across concerning this incident talked about how UPS had this brother delivering packages in some type of unmarked van. It was like a Hertz van or something. Something they rented from a rental car place. And they really set this brother up for failure. And this brother ran for his life. He escaped, but ended up getting wounded. And you don't think this brother's traumatized, man? And you want to send him back to work? But this just goes to show us, man, what they think about us. It's like, if y'all, I don't know if y'all ever seen Do the Right Thing. Y'all remember the segment in which they were all these racial slants they were saying? They was talking about you gold chain, best 360 degrees basketball, dunking, hit two spade, moulin, y'all, go to bleep back to Africa. And I'm reminded of that because I remember Ice Cube on one of his songs sampled that. He said, here's what they think about you. Here's what they think about you. That's what they think about us, man. I don't know if y'all know this. This is what they actually think about us. And there's countless information out now, especially in the healthcare, that shows how they downplay our pain. But they always have downplayed our pain, thinking that we don't feel like we're just numb to pain, man. Like we don't experience the same things that everybody else experiences when it comes to pain and suffering, man. But we do. We don't.
Gibson was not injured in the shooting or chase, but said Monday that he has been in therapy to deal with anxiety because of it. He said he still has trouble sleeping. Braden Case and his father, Gregory Case, are charged with attempted first-degree murder, conspiracy, and shooting into the vehicle driven by Gibson. Prosecutors said they intend to schedule a new trial for the two men who remain out on bond. A court official said the judge's docket is full through December.
Wow. But these murderers on bond, and I say murderers, man, this ain't the first time they did something like this. This is not the first time they did something like this. Father and son duo. They didn't have a lot of nigger outings. Shoot a nigger. This is not their first time. Let's get Mark 13:13.
Mark chapter 13, verse 13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake.
This is Christ speaking, telling us that we were going to be hated of all men. In another gospel, it says all nations for his name's sake, man. We're going to be hated because of who we are, because we're God's chosen people. Also, we have to fulfill the book. Is that it? Mm-hmm. Read it again.
It says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved.
And this is where we are right now, y'all. We have to endure being here in this captivity, and we can't forget, we ain't the victims. We are not the victims, man. We are the perpetrator indeed, and this is our punishment. Like I said, we have to fulfill the book. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want verse 25.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten.
Who's going to cause us to be what?
The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten.
The brother that got shot by Esau?
The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten.
These curses are real, man. But the Most High is causing this. Now, why is the Most High doing this to us? Matter of fact, hold that. And jump up to verse 15. Let's read it in context. So people won't say, well, Tyler, probably you twisting stuff. God is love. You know, all the Christian talk. Read this.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
All these curses was going to come upon us and overtake us. A curse is not a good thing. It's the cause of it in the first place. We won't listen. And this is consistent with our people, man. You talk about black and brown people. This is the one thing we known for, man. We won't listen. And it's crazy. You can see this in your child. How damn hard-headed are your kids? They don't listen. They think they know every damn thing, man. as little black and brown children. This is our nation as a whole, man. We got all the answers. Can't nobody tell us nothing until something bad happened. Until something bad happened, now we want to talk. Now we want to listen. Now conversation has to be held. But the whole time I was running around doing me, I ain't want to listen to nothing. We are definitely the people of the Bible, man. If we're not the Israelites, there are none. There are no Israelites in the world. Now jump back to verse 25.
The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
And the Most High scattered us through all the kingdoms of the earth. He told us wherever we went, man, we were going to be going through these curses, man. So this is not something special. This is not something that's unique that pertains to a few of us. It pertains to all of us as a whole, man. I just want to bring this out, man, to show us that this is why these things be happening to brothers, man. It ain't just a coincidence. It ain't just regular old racism. This is the hand of the Most High, man, on his people, trying to get his people in order. All right, let's get the next one. Hold on, y'all. I got a lot of stuff open. All right, here we go. All right, tell me where you're reading from.
NPR.org. You're not welcome here. Dave Santos booed at vigil for Jacksonville shooting victim. Updated August the 28th, 2023 at
9:59 p.m. So I don't know if y'all heard about this. Some Edomite went to a Dollar General, was it, or Family Dollar? Dollar General in the hood in Florida. What? It was in Jacksonville, right?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Our old stomping ground, right, Michelle? Man, I was surprised when we went to Jacksonville, too. It is so many Judites in Jacksonville. It is a lot.
God. It's one of the most dangerous hoods in America now.
You said now, I could have sworn it was back then too.
God.
Big city, y'all. A lot of Judites there, man. A lot of good people in Jacksonville. I had a good time there, seeing a lot of black folks. They kept mistaking me for somebody. I forgot who it was, but apparently this dude played football and had dreadlocks, and I looked like him. Cool brothers and sisters out there, though, man. Jacksonville. But one of the dangerous cities, most dangerous cities in America, where this shooting happened. Read on an article.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was booed and heckled on Sunday while attending a prayer vigil in Jacksonville for the three victims killed in what authorities say was a racially motivated attack at a local Dollar General. DeSantis, a Republican presidential candidate, and his wife were among those who gathered in Jacksonville's Grand Park neighborhood to commemorate the victims of the Saturday shooting.
Ain't that a mockery? Remember, y'all, this is the same governor that's trying to get the teachers down there to write in the history books about black people benefiting from slavery. It's the same cat. He had the audacity, he had the gall to show up at an incident concerning us at the hands of his counterparts, his people, because I think he's a Spaniard, y'all. He had the audacity to show up and try to act like he with us. When you put legislation out to make people forget about us and forget about the atrocities that we went through, that we suffered under the hands of your like, under the hands of your ancestors, man, it's still suffering. And you going to show up like everything is everything? We know.
But not everyone was pleased that the governor was there. As the Santos approached the podium to speak, some people in the crowd began to boo.
You know what should have happened?
Two chops to the throat. Two chops to the damn throat.
That's what should have happened.
One person yelled out, "You're not welcome here." Later, someone shouted, "Your policies caused this."
No doubt. Whoever said that was on point. Your policies caused this, fool. Was a white boy came to the hood to shoot up a Dollar General. Why you even go to your neighborhood and shoot your people up? Like I said, this cat been coming with all this anti-blackness for quite some time, and he's inspired all his other people, all his other countrymen. They ain't gonna show up like he ain't did nothing. Read on.
According to the videos of the event, as Governor DeSantis has loosened the state's gun laws and curbed efforts to teach Black history in public schools. DeSantis attempted to continue speaking, mentioning that the state was looking at identifying funds to bolster security at Edward Waters University, a nearby historically Black school that the gunman visited hours before attacking the Dollar General.
Oh, so he ain't doing nothing at the school, huh? How they know he went there?
I think he had like his whole itinerary on the website, like as far as what he was going to do.
Oh, read on.
But as the boos and heckling grew louder, DeSantis stopped talking mid-sentence. Jacksonville Councilwoman Jacoby Kitchens.
Hold on. He had to pack his stuff up and go. He had to pack his stuff up and leave because they was heckling so tough, man. I was glad to hear about this, man. I was glad to hear our people standing up. Before you read the rest of this, give Genesis chapter 49. And let's start at verse 9.
Genesis chapter 49, verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp.
Judah is the lion's whelp. Conquering lion of Judah, man. That's the symbol for the Judites, the conquering lion. Three.
From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion.
Couched as a lion. And when they say he stooped down, this is the Judites. This is the so-called black brothers. Just becoming unconscious, becoming docile, like an old lion, just laying around taking naps. And this is what our people have become, man, specifically the tribe of Judah. And I'm going to tell you why I'm talking about Judah in particular right here. Read on.
He couched as a lion and as an old lion.
As an old lion, laying around farting, taking naps. And having intercourse. This is what old lions do, man. I forgot the statistics or the information about lions, but they said that they have a lot of intercourse throughout the day. So they're just having sex and taking naps. Read on.
Who shall rouse him up?
Who shall what?
Rouse him up.
Who shall rouse him up? This is what we waiting on, y'all. We waiting for the tribe of Judah to fully wake up and get locked in so we can get the hell on, man. Read verse 8.
Verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise.
Y'all see? And this is what all of us do. All the other tribes praise Judah. We looking at Judah to see what Judah's doing. Y'all remember, take it back, man, to the turbulent 60s, the Black Panther Party. And then shortly after the Black Panther Party, you had what? The Brown Berets, which was the Hispanic tribes gathering in, fighting for equality and freedom. Following the leader who, though? Judah. Following the leader, Judah, man. Then you had Tegarawa, him and his campaign for equality, to be a revolutionary, a revolutionist. But where he get it from? The Panthers? Everybody waits on Judah to see what Judah's going to do, man. This is why when I was reading, I'm like, man, look at Judah. Standing up, man. Standing up, rising up, shutting this politician down. But it was short-lived. Read on in the article, please, LaBia.
But as the boos and heckling grew louder, DeSantis stopped talking mid-sentence. Jacksonville Councilwoman Jacoby Pittman stepped in and addressed the crowd.
So, black woman steps in, addressed the crowd. You would think she'd be in solidarity with the crowd. Like, yeah, get his ass out of here. But no. Read.
Put parties aside, Pittman said. A bullet don't know a party.
Woman, what rally are you at? It ain't got nothing to do about no damn political parties. Leave it to our people to always side with the enemy. Take up for Whitey. You know, it would have been worse if DeSantis was a woman. Because you know how our people will put on cape, boots, arm themselves to defend a crying white woman or a white woman that's being taken advantage of. A Karen. She stood up and took up for this dude, man. This is something that affects our community as a whole, your community. And your people is mad, and they should be mad, rightly so, man. It's these old church-going niggas. God is love. The scriptures tell us in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to hate. Chapter 2, I believe it is. There's a time for war. There's a time for everything under the heavens, it says. Our people always, let's be peaceful. Man, sometimes you got to rise up. Sometimes you got to stand up for your people. Because I'm sure all the people that this cracker killed, they ain't worried about no damn political party. They wasn't worried about no political parties. They was trying to make it home from damn Dollar General, which is they put in every ghetto the cheapest damn store, Dollar General, where you can go get the dollar this and dollar that for the low, because we living in what? Oppression. And your little boot-licking ass is going to stand up and take up for the ones that's oppressing us. This is our people, man. Like I said, we the people of the book. Ain't none. It's been done countless times. Ain't nothing new under the sun, man. I was going over my class Thursday about how the Israelites joined hands with the heathen during the time of the Maccabees and wanted to open up a place of exercise and call themselves Antiochians. Under the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. Nothing new, man. Nothing new. All right, y'all. This is all the was there more to that article?
Yeah.
Okay, read with the rest of the stuff. The Cape Crusader had to say.
Just put parties aside, Pittman said. A bullet don't know a party. DeSantis' office did not respond to a request for comment on Monday.
You bet your ass they didn't.
The governor's office directed $1 million toward campus security at Edward Waters University and $100,000 to support the families of the three shooting victims.
Yeah. That could never restore us, man. It's supposed to be their form of low-end reparations or something. Come on, man, stop. Anyway, I'm going to take a brief intermission, and we're going to come back on the other side of this break with Brother Mashaba, and we're going to break down the time of Christ's death and his resurrection. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, y'all. We are back. What's up, you on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's get into it. All right. What we doing?
All right.
Let's hold on, wait. Let's bring you in properly, all right.
All right. You're gonna learn today.
Yes, sir.
Shalom. Yes, y'all. Shalom. Hey, just a quick reminder for everybody who might be listening through the web browser or be listening live through the call-in. The chat room is up, all right? If you go to www.blogtalkradio.com, pull the web page up, especially if you're going through your web browser, pull the web page up, go to the search box, type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. It's going to bring you to our episode page. Once you get to the episode page, hit on air, I'll say on air live. Hit the play button, and you'll also see where the chat room is up, all right? You also see where the chat room is definitely up. I have posted a lot of stuff from Tons of Post-Train events that we just did, but for whatever reason, they just all got erased.
All good.
All right.
I'm on here, too.
It's all good.
Cool, brother. Where are we going first?
All right. And dealing with the birth of Christ, right? I'm trying to make this like as concise as possible. You let me know what we're working with. First off, I'd like to go just try and get streamlined because I know I can draw things out. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 through 4.
You said chapter 15.
Verses 3 through 4, yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures.
Hi, verse 4.
And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures.
All right, cool. So I just want to get this established and show that, you know, Paul even came back and said that Christ, that he taught that according to the scriptures, that Christ did die for our sins, and that even according to the scriptures, that he rose again the third day. All right. So they know this is definitely after Christ's crucifixion, Christ's death, and the resurrection. That Paul is testifying to let us know that Christ had rose again the third day. Now, this third day is going to be very important for us, right? This third day is going to be very important. We want to keep note of that. From there, if we go to St. John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. St. John chapter 2, 18 through 22.
St. John chapter 2 and verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign shewest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.
And we're going to be through verse 22.
Oh, my bad. Verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said.
All right, cool. So again, we have Christ giving a foreshadowing or a prophecy in an allegory form. And I know that, the Brother Chaz Apai went over, he did a class about allegories and metaphors, how the Most High speaks. But here he gave a parable, an allegory, a metaphor about the temple being destroyed, and in 3 days it's going to be risen back up. And our people being the very verbatim, literal people that we have a tendency to be, we thought he was being, again, literal in this case, and he wasn't. All right? That, and the temple being rebuilt in 3 days, he's referring to his body, referring to himself, and that he would be dead for 3 days, that he was going to die, and that he would be dead for 3 days, and then he would resurrect. All right? From there, can we please go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21?
Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day.
So now we have that in St. John chapter 2, we have where Christ gave a prophecy or foreshadowing, a prophecy about he's going to die, and after 3 days he's going to be raised again. This here now, Matthew chapter 16, is when he's on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover, which was going to be the Last Supper. And he's let them know that, yeah, he's going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. All right? Let's stay in the book of Matthew and go to Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23.
Matthew chapter 17 and verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be risen again. And they were exceedingly sorrowful.
All right, so we're seeing again now, just one chapter later, that Christ is again prophesying and letting the disciples know, the apostles know, that yes, he's going to have to die. Now, one thing we kind of want to take note of is that, especially in Matthew chapter 16, Christ had just asked the disciples who people said thought he was. Because if we remember, for that 3 years of Christ's ministry, that part of the time, he sent the disciples out two by two into every city that he was going to come into. So he dispersed them. They weren't with him the whole 3 years while he was teaching, but they went to all the different cities within the land of Israel. So they all came back together, and then Christ is getting a report from them about their travels, about what was going on. And they was telling Christ about all the miracles that they performed and their adventures and things that happened. And he's getting all these reports from everybody. And then he just asked the disciples after, they said, all right, cool. So who do people say that I am? And he said, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, come back. Well, some people think you're Elijah, come back. Some people that you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And they were giving their reasons of why they thought these things. And then Christ asked the disciples, well, who do y'all say I am? And they said, thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, the Son of God. And then Christ told them, see that thou tell no man about that. See that you tell nobody this. And right after that, after the apostles, you know, all these accolades and talking about all the miracles and all the things that happened and all the adventures that went down, and yeah, that Christ definitely is the Messiah. He is the one. Then he drops his bomb on them. Hey, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed by the elders, by the scribes, by the priests, and by the people, and I'm going to have to be put to death, but I'm going to raise again the third day. And after that, they would be bewildered, like, hold up. All these miracles we saw you perform, walking on water, walking through walls, healing people the way you was healing people, feeding 10,000 here, 5,000 here, 6,000 here. You said, well, you're going to die. Nah, they weren't trying to hear that. So now he has to come back again and warn them again. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise again the third day. And again, the disciples, apostles, were exceedingly sad because, like what Todd's been going over, the Israelites were looking for the Savior. We were looking for the Messiah. For the classes Tazapaz has been going over, excellent classes, I just want to add to a little bit that we also were very familiar with the book of Daniel. As much as we were familiar with all the rest of the scriptures of the Old Testament and the Torah, one thing we were very familiar with was the writings of Daniel. Because it's only in the book of Daniel where it actually mentions the word Messiah by name. The word Messiah means anointed. It mentions him by name. And that the Messiah was going to come at the end of the fourth kingdom. Now, from that time, it was always understood that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the elite of Israel that were carried away into Babylon during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. After the Babylonians was the Persian and Medes. After the Persian and Medes was the Greeks and the Romans. Was the Greeks and then the Romans. That the Romans was the fourth kingdom that was referred to in Daniel, the second chapter. The fourth kingdom referred to in Daniel, the seventh chapter. It was there's going to be the rough goat and the other kingdom coming in Daniel, the eighth chapter. So we were looking for this and know that the Messiah was coming, as well as other scriptures, but we were looking for this. So now for Christ to be here during the time of the Roman Empire, and he is the Messiah, according to their understanding of the scriptures, like Todd Five was given an understanding about Judas Iscariot being that assassin, being a zealot, that cool, it's time to set it off. That the Messiah is here, you are definitely the Messiah. Hey, nobody doing what you're doing with the miracles and the power, the way you're doing this, you got to be the man. You got to be the one. You're going to deliver us from this fourth kingdom, because that's even what the prophecies say. But what wasn't being put together was all the prophecies about how Christ was going to have to suffer. A lot of the Psalms, Psalms chapter 22, Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah chapter 53, that there was a lot of scriptures that did talk about how the Messiah was going to have to suffer and be put to death, that his soul, his spirit wouldn't be left in hell. His soul, his spirit was not going to see corruption or decompose. That there was a lot of those scriptures that were not being put together and linked. This is what Christ had to tell us in Matthew chapter 5, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. That there's still, like, until Shiloh come, Israel had to fall first. We still had to catch the prophecies of being carried away in captivity over here to a land far off or near. That we had to come into the Americas, our Sarath. And that was going to be here where it was said we're not the children of the Most High, that here we'll be called the children of the Most High. So there was still a lot of prophecies that had to take place. So the apostles are very upset at hearing that. Hold up, what you mean you got to die? What you mean that you can be killed? That's not our understanding of what the Messiah is supposed to be doing. But we're seeing where all this had to happen. Brother Tosafot, we go to Matthew chapter 12 now, and verse 38 through 40. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40.
Matthew chapter 12, and verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth, in the heart of the earth.
So the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted Christ to perform a miracle like he was a some David Blaine type of individual, whatever, almost trying to mock him. And he said, look, only an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. That for all the teaching that I've done, for all the understanding I'm giving y'all, that y'all still looking for signs, y'all still looking for me to do tricks and wonders, that ain't going to happen. Only evil people are going to look for that. The only sign that's going to be given, though, is the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, verse 40, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He's going to be dead for 3 days and three nights. From there, let's pick up with Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Once again, Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4.
Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when is it even? Ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed.
So Christ was very aware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and Sadducees, supposed to be the experts at the law, supposed to be the experts at God and understanding spiritual things, but how literal they took things, how verbatim they took things in order to work their little loopholes in the law or whatever. He said, look, again, I just dealt with y'all in Galilee about signs and how only a wicked generation seeks for signs. Now I'm here in Jerusalem, and it's the same thing. Only a wicked generation looks for signs. Like, now you need just proof all of a sudden. Like, now I better do something for you right now to prove to you right now that I'm the Son of God, that the Most High sent me. The only sign that's going to be given is that there's going to be the sign of the prophet Jonas. And then Christ turned his back and walked away. That I'm not going to sit here and go through changes for you down to prove to you that what you're doing is wrong, and that the Messiah is with me. All the good that's going on, I forget that. And forget y'all also. Y'all ain't worth my time when it comes to that. The only sign that's going to be given, though, is the sign of the prophet Jonas. All right? From there, let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 30.
Luke chapter 11, verse 30. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation.
So again, I just wanted to get this again also, that for as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. And again, so what was the sign of Jonah to Ninevites? That he was in the well in the bell for that 3 days and for 3 nights. Now, the reason what I'm trying to establish here, hopefully that I've been able to do that with the help of Brother Tazapa, is to show that 3 days was going to be the sign given of how long Christ is going to be in the earth, how long Christ is going to be dead. Now, many of us have been taught that, and we understand Easter Sunday, but then they also call it Good Friday, that supposedly Christ died on Good Friday. Why this, if Christ died on Friday, that'd be good, but suppose he died on Good Friday and he rose Easter Sunday. Well, we're going to do a little bit of math. Before we get there, though, we need to do just a few things real quick. Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34.
Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Cool. So now we have the crucifixion. Christ already prophesied. I'm not going to get all the details about that. We've been over that already. And Pastor did an excellent job on that class already also about the crucifixion and the events of the crucifixion, how the physician analyzed what Christ went through, and just how excruciating it was. And how I also did a series about the mindset of Christ And in that series, we went deep also into what type of things Christ went through and what type of mindset he had to take and just what he was going through on a human level and having to suffer those things before actually being tortured to death. All right. So now he's actually on the cross, and it was about the sixth hour, from the sixth hour up to the ninth hour. All right. And then within the ninth hour, so that's a three-hour period, and in the ninth hour, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's just a testament of what type of real physical anguish, real physical emotions, real physical trauma, real physical pain Christ was going through. That he wasn't using his angelic power to not have to feel the pain. And I had to go through what he had to go through. He had to feel every last ounce of that anguish and not use his own power to stop it, to get out of it. He had to go ahead and go through it. Let's jump on to verse 37, please. Mark chapter 15, verse 37.
Verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost.
So we understand this was within the ninth hour. All right, within the ninth hour of Christ being hung on that cross after being whipped, beaten, the having to carry that cross, it falling on him, being nailed to the cross where he was nailed to it, the crown of thorns being nailed into his head, the spit that people were spitting in his face, they ripped his beard off, and then looking him dead in his eye and saying, you healed others, why don't you heal yourself? If you get off that cross right now, I believe that you're the Christ. Give us a sign. Show us a sign. You know, almost like that DMX song, Lord, give me a sign. Show me that you're with me. Get off that cross, and I will believe it's really you. So just mocking, and you know who our people are. This is black people. This is black people. Mm-hmm. This is our people talking junk, talking pure junk, trying to instigate him to do something. All right? So the ninth hour, he cries out, and he gives up the ghost. Now I'm going to read this part real quick, I'm reading from the Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature. It's a Bible encyclopedia. All right, it's a Bible encyclopedia, and I'm reading about the ninth hour service. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read this real quick. So the ninth hour. The ninth hour is the technical term for a divine service celebrated in some Christian churches. Canonical hours were introduced at an early period. The first of these was Marentha, the morning service, about daybreak. The second at 9 o'clock, called Tertia, or third hour, the third at the 12 o'clock being the noonday service, the ninth hour service following at 3 in the afternoon. So I just want to get this established that it's understood that the ninth hour is 3 in the afternoon. All right, the ninth hour is 3 in the afternoon. So the sixth hour would have been 12 noon. The sixth hour, if you go from sunset, you come or sunrise, you go 6 hours. You've got noon, go another 3 hours, it'd be about 3 p.m. So Christ died about 3 p.m. I hope we got that established. I hope that's there. Now from there, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. We're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now what we're going to get to is, I know a lot of people already know, we know he died in 3 days. We got that. We know that. Yeah, we got that. And yeah, it was Good Friday, and he rose on Sunday, and that's why we do the Easter eggs, and even though that's the Ashtoreth and fertility goddess and everything, but it's for the kids, so it's all good. Well, we're going to keep reading this Bible, and like we do, prove all things, let's do some math, all right? Let's do some math. Let's get some of this practical knowledge. Let's get Matthew chapter 28, verse 1.
Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
So we know Christ was he was on the cross, he died, they took him down, and they buried him. All right? We got that. We know that. We got that understood. Now, here it is, the end of the Sabbath. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher where they had buried Christ. So here it is. The end of the Sabbath, and we know the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, which would be so-called Friday sundown. All right? by the sundown is already fast. Before I get it up, the first day of the week being Sunday. Let me just keep it like that. The first day of the week being Sunday. All right. It's early Sunday morning. They're coming to the tomb, to the sepulcher, and Christ is already risen. Early Sunday morning before the sun comes up. All right. So we're not disputing Sunday. That's not the dispute. We understand it was Sunday before the sun came up, early morning, before the sun came up, Sunday, what today we call Sunday morning. All right. Let's go to, that was Matthew 28 verse 1. Let's get Mark chapter 16 verses 1 and 2. Mark chapter 16 verses 1 and 2.
Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Let me keep going.
Yeah, verse 2 also. Yeah, verses 1 and 2.
Verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun.
So here it is again, the first day of the week, early in the morning, before the sun came up, as it's coming up, they're at the sepulcher. They're at the tomb where they buried Christ, all right? And we're going to find out he was already risen. But this is early Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Early Sunday, the first day of the week. Let's get Luke chapter 24. We're going to be verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. You know what? I take it back. Before we get that, let's get St. John chapter 20, verse 1, then we'll come back to Luke. Let's get St. John chapter 20, verse 1, and then we're going to come back to Luke.
St. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre. Seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre.
Okay. So again, here we have. All right, cool. So here we have St. John chapter 20, verse 1. It's the first day of the week. Cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And all we're establishing, like everybody does know, that Christ was risen already by Sunday morning. Before the sun came up, Christ had already risen from the dead. All right? Christ had already risen from the dead early Sunday morning before the sun came up. Christ had already risen. All right. From there, let's go to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8.
Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day risen again, or rise again. And they remembered his words.
Cool. So here they are at the sepulcher, and they gather everybody, because Mary Magdalene went back and forth several times. She went, came back at Mary and Salome. They went back and got Peter. And they brought a whole crowd. They was going back and forth. Then the angels reminded them, hey, why are y'all looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember he told you that he was going to be crucified, but he was going to rise again the third day. It says, then they remembered his words. All right? So we got that Christ had risen by the time sunrise, Sunday morning, was here. which is the first day of the week, Christ had already risen. But what were all the things that was that the signs that was given about his death? That it was, that he was going to be in the earth. The only sign that would be given is the sign of the prophet Jonas, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the dead. So shall the Son of Man also be. Now, so with that being said, we're going to do a little bit of math. All right, we have to do a little bit of math. Now, we know that he had, by the time Sunday morning came, he had already risen. He rose from the dead. So sometime between sundown, Saturday night, and early Sunday morning, Christ had already risen. Right? Christ had already risen. So if we take Saturday night, and we're going to count backwards for the 3 days and three nights. So we have Saturday night, because remember, Sunday morning, he was already risen. So we have Saturday night. That would be one night. Going backwards, then we'd have Saturday. That would give us one day. So we got one night and one day. From Saturday, we'll go back to Friday night. Friday night will give us two nights. Continuing to count backwards, if we have Friday night, then Friday would be 2 days. Then we go back to Thursday night. That would be three nights. And then Thursday, we have 3 days. Now, we know that it told us that he had died the ninth hour. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. That means Christ would have actually died Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m. And then that would give us Thursday night, which is one night, Friday night, which is two nights, and then Saturday night, which is three nights. And then we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and by the time we got to Saturday night, then sometime between Saturday night and Sunday morning, he had already risen. And that gives us our 3 days and three nights. There is no way in hell Christ was died at Friday at 3 p.m., as people have us believe. That he died Friday at 3 p.m. and then rose late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Mathematically, that is impossible. And Brother Suspot, this notes I have, I just emailed it to you also, in case you want a copy of this.
Yes, indeed. I was writing it down, but that's even better. Did you have any more of that?
I was trying to keep it as streamlined as possible. Brother, I'm telling you right now, thank you for letting me know last night that we're going to do this. I don't know how many times I rewrote this trying to get it perfect.
It's crystal clear. I like the way you broke it down, walking it backwards, because that is the one thing that I've always been confused on, because I got Esau's time in my mind, and I'm trying to mix it with biblical time, and we know that the day starts in the evening. So that always boggled my mind. But the way you broke it down is very simple to comprehend. I have to water for that.
I'll pray to the Most High. I'll pray to the Most High. But this here wound up being like, because of the font I'm using, this was, let me see here. This wound up being, seven pages. Before I streamlined it, but we was looking at like 15 pages. I have website links and all type of stuff I was going ham in, but I was like nope. Let's try and make it as easy and as simple as possible, so we all get some understanding. We all can get this.
God, the water, bro. That was right on point, brother.
Now, this is my question, bro. Now, I was going to go over your class, and again, I love the class that you're doing with this edification. Besides, like I said, where my mind was going with this was still proving how much we've been lied to about Christ, how we worship, like for your last class, you was going into Easter and the giant egg, Easter, Ashtoreth, Venus, and the fertility goddesses and how we worship our things that we don't really understand what the hell it is we're worshiping. And again, as well as that, from there's no way in hell we get from Friday, Good Friday. If it was Friday at 3 p.m., then we got Friday at 3 p.m., then Friday night, Saturday, then Saturday night. And that right there is only 2 nights in 1 day, or 2 days in 1 night. How the hell would he have already risen between Saturday night and Sunday morning? That just, something's off. Something's wrong with that. That does not compute. But they have our people believing this, and there was only, I'm sorry, I'm not sure if you had it or where he was going, but I was reminded of Romans chapter 1, where it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie? And we're just serving a preacher, Romans chapter 1, verse 25 and verse 23. But I don't know if this is part of what you wanted to bring out or what have you.
Yes, absolutely. I'm getting to that because I like how you just broke it down and has Christ, according to the scriptures and the math, he died on a Thursday.
Yes.
But we've been taught the other lie instead of Friday that he actually died on a Wednesday. Because I've heard that one before also. But the reason they link that up the way they do is what I'm about to bring out now.
Okay, then cool. Well, can I read for you? You still got Labaya there. Yeah, Labaya, a.k.a. Israelware, a.k.a. The Facebook poster.
Yeah, I got Labaya here and Kobe 2, Arkaya decided to join us.
All right, cool. All right, Kyle, right there.
So let's read this article, Abiyah. Tell them where you read from.
Britannica.com. Ash Wednesday in Western Christianity, the first day of Lent.
So we're reading the article about Ash Wednesday because, like I said, I've heard, I don't know if y'all heard, but they said that Christ died on a Wednesday. So this is why they try to spin that and say he died on a Wednesday, because they're trying to link the Bible up with paganism. Read on.
Occurring 6.5 weeks before Easter, between February the 4th and March 11th, depending on the date of Easter. Ash Wednesday is a solemn reminder of human mortality and the need of reconciliation with God.
No, that's nonsense, y'all. This is paganism, which is intertwined with religion, which the Most High never gave. You know?
It marks the beginning of the pinnacle Lenten season.
So now we're dealing with Lent. You know?
It is commonly observed with ashes and fasting. Eastern Orthodox churches begin Lent on Clean Monday and therefore do not observe Ash Wednesday. In the early Christian church, the length of the Lenten celebration varied, but eventually it began 6 weeks, 42 days, before Easter.
So all of this corresponds and all of it is linked together. Because before you even get to Ash Wednesday, you have what's known as Fat Tuesday. And all of this takes place, y'all, around Mardi Gras season. The whole season, the whole thing about Mardi Gras is pagan and demonic. This is why when you go to New Orleans or you see the people celebrating Mardi Gras, there's a bunch of lewdness going on, women showing their titties, beads all over the place, everybody drunk, stumbling drunk, a lot of debauchery, a lot of overeating. A lot of sex going on, a lot of sodomy going on. And then the day after, everybody has remorse. Everybody feel bad. Now everybody want to be holy. Oh, I got to give this up. And this is known as Ash Wednesday. Read on.
Provided only 36 days of fasting, excluding Sundays. In the 7th century, 4 days were added before the first Sunday in Lent in order to establish 40 fasting days in imitation of Jesus Christ fast in the desert.
See, they try to mix Christ up in this whole nonsense, this demonic pagan stuff. So Ash Wednesday is the start of Lent, and you're supposed to give something up or fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Read on.
It was the practice.
Well, I'm sorry, 40 days. Read on.
It was the practice in Rome for penitents and grievous sinners.
Now, this goes all the way back to Rome. And remember, once again, we're discussing what's known as the papal worship or the papacy, which is dealing with the Roman Catholic Church. So they took hold of all this paganism and wooed it into religion. And we covered this last week dealing with Constantine. We're going to get more into him also. But read on.
And grievous sinners to begin their period of public penance on the first day of Lent, in preparation for their restoration to the sacrament of the Eucharist. They were sprinkled with ashes, dressed, and obliged to remain apart until they were reconciled with the Christian community.
Now, the ashes and the sackcloth, they get that from the Israelites. Y'all remember, if we had lost a loved one, or if we was going through a tough period of time where the Most High had his finger on us, we would put on sackcloth, and we would have ashes and throw ashes all over our body, all over our faces, and we just would be mourning. This was a sign of mourning. So this is where they get it from. So they're mixing paganism once again with the Bible. Read on.
Christian community on Maundy Thursday, the Thursday before Easter. When these practices fell into disuse, 8th to 10th century, the beginning of the penitential season of Lent was symbolized by placing ashes on the heads of the entire congregation.
Ashes on the head of the entire congregation. So people walking around, and y'all see it too. Ash Wednesday, people have these damn ashes on their head. I remember the first time I seen it, I'm like, man, what the hell is going on? I thought I was in a horror movie or something. Seeing people with this crap on their forehead, I'm like, man, what is this? What's the significance of this? But this is what it's talking about. Remember, this is done publicly. Now, this is what Christ told us about fasting. Let's get Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 16. This is the way you're supposed to fast. And remember, in this article we read, all of this stuff was did publicly for everybody to see. And then y'all know it to ourselves if y'all seen these Catholics walking around Ash Wednesday with this display that they was fasting on their forehead, or you hear about people all on Facebook and other social media sites talking about what they were fasting from Lent or on Lent. And they'll be naming a variety of different things, but it's all being done publicly. Now read this.
Matthew 6 and 16. Moreover, when ye fast.
Now listen to this. This is Christ speaking. Yahweh Shai said, when you do fast, read.
Be not as the hypocrites.
He said what?
Be not as the hypocrites.
What do hypocrites do? Read.
Of a sad countenance.
They do what?
They're of a sad countenance.
They make their face, they disfigure their face to look all sad. Read.
For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Don't do this. Don't let everybody, I'm fasting, look at me.
But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face.
No, leave black ash all over your face. Is that what he said?
Wash thy face.
Wash your damn face. Read.
That thou appear not unto men to fast.
Don't look like you fasting. Because it's not about a show. It's about you showing the Most High that you're willing to give something up. Remember what Christ told the disciples when they couldn't pour those spirits off of that dude. He says, this could only be done by prayer and fasting. So fasting is a very serious thing, but you see how religion makes a mockery of fasting. Now let's read this. Bobby, I want you to read this. Tell them where you read from.
standardmedia.co.ke. Unrevealed secrets of Ash Wednesday coinciding with Valentine's Day.
Is what? It coincides with Valentine's Day. You ask yourself, what the hell does Ash Wednesday have to do with Valentine's Day? Because both of them are pagan. Read.
Businesses stocking red roses and wine will be in the pinnacle of making profits. Streets are painted red from Paris in France to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, New York in USA, and to Kenya's capital, Nairobi. Such is the mood of the Valentine's Day that is entertaining home stretch on February the 14th, which lovebirds cannot bear to miss. But as love smells in the air, there is another celebration the world's most popular personality, Pope Francis, is leading the world to commemorate, Ash Wednesday. Make no mistake of being surprised when meeting a person with a dark-ass crucifix marked on his or her forehead. Ash Wednesday has a great significance to the Catholics and other evangelical churches. It is a religious practice that is marked in preparation and the beginning of the Lent period, another Catholic tradition, which they consider to be prayer and fasting season ushering Easter. While it may appear to the others just like an onward sign of honoring a ritual maintained within a church setup, the practice has deeply embedded importance to the Catholics. An article titled True Meaning of Lent, pinned down by Restored Church of God, ties Ash Wednesday to the obligation to honor Jesus fasting in the wilderness in, quote, supportive biblical verse.
Keep reading.
From Ash Wednesday to Easter, many solemnly mark their foreheads with ash, fasting or abstaining from certain foods or physical pleasures for 40 days. This is done to...
Hold on, wait a minute. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to skip down, y'all. Story right here.
A historian known as Craig Portwood writes an article titled Ash, What the Pagan Origin of Ash Wednesday.
The what?
What the Pagan Origin of Ash Wednesday.
It's pagan, read.
Revealing the remnants of secular practices and how they were sucked up into the church's adorable tradition.
I hope y'all caught this. I'm not making this up, man. Paganism is woven in with religion, read.
Portwood writes, the practice of putting ashes on one's forehead has been known from ancient times. In the Nordic pagan religion,
Read.
Placing ashes above one's brow was believed to ensure the protection of the Norse god, Odin.
Who?
The Norse god, Odin.
Odin. Read.
This practice spread to Europe during the Vikings' conquest. This laying on of ashes was done on Wednesday, the day named of Odin.
The day Odin. Named of who?
Odin.
The day named after Odin. Odin's Day. I remember the show, if y'all ever seen it, American Gods. I don't know if it still comes on, but the character's name on the show, they called him Wednesday, but he was Odin. So the ashes on the forehead, that's the worship of Odin. Keep reading this.
According to his view, there is no biblical command compelling Christians to participate of the Ash Wednesday, and neither did Christ nor his apostles practice it.
Because you won't find this nowhere in the Bible. Read.
Catholic Encyclopedia reveals that the practice commenced in the 8th century after Christ had resurrected. As opposed to taking Holy Communion, paying tithes, and evangelizing, the Bible may have not directly mentioned Ash Wednesday. Such is what sums up the mysterious Ash Wednesday.
It has nothing to do with the Bible. Now, let's go to the Two Babylons, page 105. And I want you to read the highlight parts. Yep.
Among the pagans, this Lent seems to have been an indispensable preliminary to the great annual festival in commemoration of the death and resurrection of Tammuz.
Of who?
Tammuz.
Now, this is, we're still dealing with Ash Wednesday, Lent, all of it's grouped in together. So the ashes on the forehead, we find out that that's talking about Odin, also known as Wednesday. But then another name is being dropped, which is Tammuz, which is actually in the Bible. These are all deities. Like I said, these are the same deities. They're just known by different names depending on the nation. Read.
Which was celebrated by alternate weeping and rejoicing, and which in many countries was considerably later than the Christian festival, being observed in Palestine and Assyria in June. Therefore called the month of Tammuz in Egypt, about the middle of May, and in Britain sometime in April.
So you see how, depending on the country, they were even celebrated at different times. Read.
To conciliate the pagans to nominal Christianity, Rome, pursuing its usual policy,
The Roman Catholic Church, read.
Took measures to get the Christian and pagan festivals amalgamated, and by a complicated but skillful adjustment of the calendar, it was found no difficult matter.
So they had to play around with the calendar. Read.
In general, to get paganism and Christianity, now far sunk in idolatry, in this as in so many other things, to shake hands. The instrument in accomplishing this amalgamation was the abbot Dionysius the Little, to whom also we owe it, as modern chronologers have demonstrated, that the date of the Christian era, or of the birth of Christ himself, was moved 4 years from the true time.
So they even moved the birth of Christ. Read on. The next page. Highlights.
What may have been the period of fasting in the Roman Church before the sitting of the Nicene Council does not very clearly appear.
It says before the Nicene Council. So they had a host of councils, these religious folks back in the day, to determine what was canonical, what was not canonical, what they wanted to add in the Bible and traditions and such, things of that nature. Read.
But for a considerable period after that council, we have distinct evidence that it did not exceed 3 weeks. The words of Socrates writing on this very subject about AD 450 are these. Those who inhabit the princely city of Rome fast together before Easter 3 weeks, excepting the Saturday and Lord's Day.
Like they fast before Easter 3 weeks. It's no different than the fast of Lent. This is what they're talking about, man. This is all the paganism. Read.
But at last, when the worship of Astarte was rising into the ascendant, steps were taken to get the whole Chaldean Lent of 6 weeks, or 40 days, made imperative on all within the Roman Empire of the West.
40 days. The fasting time of Lent. Is that it?
That's it.
Now jump to page 197. Same book, The Two Babylons, y'all, by Reverend Alexander Hislop.
There is yet one more symbol of the Romish worship to be noticed, and that is the sign of the cross.
The sign of what?
The cross.
Because that's what they make on their forehead with the ash. They make the sign of the cross. Read.
In the papal system, as is well known, the sign of the cross and the image of the cross are all in all. No prayer can be said, no worship engaged in, no step almost can be taken without the frequent use of the sign of the cross.
And y'all know how y'all see people doing it now this day and age. They make a cross over their chest and head before they do anything, before they go in places. This is what it's talking about. Read.
The cross is looked upon as the grand charm, as the great refuge in every season of danger, in every hour of temptation, as the infallible preservation from all the powers of darkness. The cross is adored with all the homage due only to the Most High, and for anyone to call it, in the hearing of genuine Romanists, by the scriptural term, the accursed tree, is a mortal offense.
Read.
To say that superstitious feeling for the sign of the cross, such worship as Rome pays to a wooden or metal cross, ever grew out of the saying of Paul.
You can't talk about that cross. And what about people known for rocking the damn cross around their neck, man? I don't care who you is, what tribe you from, you was rocking that cross because you thought it had something to do with the Most High. We're going to find out it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the Most High or Christ. Read.
God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, in the doctrine of Christ crucified is a mere absurdity, a shallow subterfuge and pretense.
He said this is absurd. We're going to find out why he says this. Read.
The magic virtues attributed to the so-called sign of the cross, the worship bestowed on it, never came from such a source. The same sign of the cross that Rome now worships was used in the Babylon mysteries.
It was used in what?
Babylonian mysteries.
Read.
Was applied by paganism to the same magic purposes, was honored with the same honors. That which is now called the Christian cross was originally no Christian emblem at all.
What was it?
But was the mystic Tau of the Chaldeans and Egyptians.
The mystic Tau of the Chaldeans and the Egyptians. Y'all know that thing that the Egyptians used to wear that you see niggas in the conscious community wearing? They call a ankh. That's where they get it from. We gonna find it goes deeper. Read.
The true original form of the letter T, the initial.
So the cross is not a cross at all. It's the letter what?
T.
The letter T. Read.
The initial of the name of Tammuz.
The initial of who?
Tammuz.
The cross is the symbol for Tammuz. I hope y'all are hearing this. Read.
Which in Hebrew, radically, the name as ancient Chaldee, as found on coin, was formed as in number one of the accompanying woodcut figures, and in Eritrea and Coptic, as in numbers 2 and 3. That mystic Tau was marked in baptism on the foreheads of those initiated in the mystery.
Where they put it at?
On the foreheads of those initiated.
Sounds familiar, like Ash Wednesday.
And was used in every variety of way as the most sacred symbol. To identify Tammuz with the sun, it was joined sometimes to the circle of the sun.
Tammuz is the sun worship. This is where they get the word Sunday from. It's the worship of the sun god. This is why they changed the Sabbath. Constantine changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, because he was a sun god worshiper. We're finding out the sun god is Tammuz. Read.
Sometimes it was inserted in the circle.
So sometimes they would have a cross, and I know y'all probably seen it. They have the cross, and then they have the circle around the cross. This is what it's talking about. That cross is not a cross. It's a T. You're worshiping Tammuz with your Jesus piece around your neck. Read.
Whether the Maltese cross, which the Romanish bishops append to their name as a symbol of their episcopal dignity, is the letter T, may be doubtful. But there seems no reason to doubt that Maltese cross is an express symbol of the sun. For Laird found it as a sacred symbol in Nineveh in such a connection as led him to identify it with the sun. The mystic Tau as the symbol of the great divinity was called, quote, the sign of life. It was used as an amulet over the heart. It was marked on the official garments of the priest, as on the official garments of the priests of Rome.
Now, I got to get this. Hold that archive. Labia, let's get Ezekiel chapter 8. And we're going to start at verse, I want you to read verse 1 and we're going to jump. Because we're finding out that cross is not a cross at all, it's a T. And that T is the initial for Tammuz, the sun god. He was also known in Egypt as Ra, the sun god. Like I said, it just depends on the culture, man, and the nation. They gave him different names. Same deity. So Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 1. I'm going to read it so you find it. It says, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. So this is Ezekiel. Now we're going to jump down to verse 13. And he said also unto me, turn ye yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. So an angel came to Ezekiel and was showing Ezekiel all the abominable things that we as Israelites, specifically the tribe of Judah at this time, was worshiping. So he's like, man, look, I'm going to show the abominable things that they're doing. Now, verse 14, Lobby, I'll pick up there.
Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz.
Women was weeping for who?
Tammuz.
Well, we just read about in the two Babylons. This is way before Christ was born. They was rocking the cross even back then. Y'all see how the cross has nothing to do with Christ? And our people be going crazy, man. You go get your first little gold chain. What's on the end of it?
A cross.
Our people making the damn cross with their hand before they go into danger or go into places they don't supposed to be at, thinking they doing something holy, has nothing to do with Christ. Read on.
Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this? O son of man, turn thee yet again, and that thou shalt see greater abominations than thee.
Read.
And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord.
It was 25 men had their backs turned away from the temple of the Most High, meaning they was not worshiping the Most High. They turned their back on the Most High, read.
And their faces toward the east, and they worshiped.
Their faces was turned toward which direction?
The east.
The east. And this, remember, this is who the Muslims pray to the east, right? But what's the purpose of praying to the east? Read.
And they worship the sun toward the east.
They worship what?
The sun toward the east.
This is the worship of Tammuz, y'all. We just read this in the two Babylons. The cross has absolutely nothing to do with Christ, man. Y'all stop that nonsense. Stop wearing that crap. You know, that's why the scripture says, Christ told that lady in St. John, it says, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, man. A lot of us running around, like I said, with this cross nonsense, really thinking we're doing something religious. Well, you are. You're doing something religious. But it has absolutely nothing to do with Christ in the Bible, man. So this is a good stopping place, y'all. We're going to stop here. And we definitely going to come back, Lord's willing, next Tuesday with some more of this, dealing with the topic of Ash Wednesday and paganism. I want to send shout out to everybody that tuned into the class. I hope y'all got some edification from the class. Oh, and also, man, I want us to, everybody, send prayers up for all our brothers and sisters that live in Florida, man. There's supposed to be a hurricane touch land, I believe, this evening, if it hasn't already touched, man. But they're talking about it doing significant damages. So send some prayers up for our brothers and sisters, man, who live in Florida, man. And until next Tuesday, y'all, Lord willing, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Tuesday. Every
Tuesday.
So Wilder, big shout out to Mashaba for joining in, y'all, and blessing us with his knowledge of Christ's death and resurrection. Appreciate you doing that, brother. And until next Tuesday, y'all, we're going to say shalom.